Wow, thank you. Is anybody still amazed that we're all here together, this big crowd in Auckland, New Zealand? Can we just give glory to God? You're standing in the middle of a miracle. Something that just a generation of, they barely could dream this, and you're living the dream and standing in the dream. And to God be the glory for what He is doing in the beautiful nation of New Zealand. Are you glad to be here tonight? I know you are. Turn to somebody and smile at them as big as you can and say, "You look better when you smile." Tell them, if you're happy, notify your face. And then you may be seated. Wow. Well, it's an absolute honor for me to be here back again at this great church and this great conference. I love your pastor. I love his wife, Marie, and Pastor Paul. I have such respect for him. You know, we go, ministers like myself, we go because we're called. I preach because I'm called. I feel like, Paul, woe is me if I don't do this. But to be honest, the older I get, where I go depends on who I like. I'm just telling you like it is. And I like Paul and Marie DeYoung because they are remarkable, remarkable, godly people. Can we give them a warm, we love you, we honor you, we don't ever call you normal or common leaders. You're exceptional, exceptional people. And as great as his preaching and all that stuff and pastoring, I love his heart and his spirit. He brings, you know, when you get around people that are real, they have a peace, not only that they have, but they speak it to your life. And every time I get around him, I feel a little bit more relaxed. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open them with me, please, to the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. I'm going to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus. I'm not going to preach long, but I'm going to preach till I get through. Leviticus chapter 16, and that'll be in just a few minutes. But look with me in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 16, and I'll begin reading with verse 21. Aaron shall lay both of his hands, Aaron the high priest, shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions concerning their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness, listen to this, by the hand of a suitable man. I like the King James, original King James version here. It says, by the hands of a fit man, F-I-T, by the hands of a fit man. Some translations say suitable, some say fit, some say strong. And then notice what happens in verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. I want to talk to you. I'll give you my title in just a moment. But I want to talk to you for a few moments about this occasion in the Old Testament because it so speaks profoundly to our lives. Send the goat away by the hands of a fit man. Where I live and where you live, probably within just a few miles, there's at least 6 fitness centers or gyms where you can join to become a fit man or woman. It's a $27 billion industry in America. What's interesting is 80% of those who join fitness centers at the beginning of the year because of New Year's resolutions will drop out by the second week of February. Listen to this, fitness centers sell memberships on the expectation that only 18% of the people will use them. Therefore, they way oversell. If everybody showed up who joined the fitness center, sounds like the church, if everybody showed up who joined the fitness center, they would not ever on any day of the week be able to accommodate. They sell the memberships knowing that people are fired up for a moment, but it won't last. They sell enough memberships, and only 1% last a year in a fitness center. Only 1 in 5 will go longer than a month. Listen to this. The article said this. Those who sign up and join a fitness center but never go after a few weeks are a fitness center's best customer. Of all the elaborate machinery, of all of the amazing promises of sculpted bodies and ripped abs and muscular perfect 10 shapes. The truth is, if the truth be told, most people are in love with the idea of being fit, but they lack the discipline it takes to actually achieve the goal of being fit. You don't have to shout. I know this isn't spiritual. You don't have to shout. I'm going somewhere. It's a good idea to be a fit man, a fit woman. All of us want it, but most of us lack the discipline that it takes to be there. What is astounding about the text that I just read is there is a search going on in Israel. And they're searching throughout the camp looking for a fit man. Not any man. Any man won't do for the job that is desperately needed. It impacted every family, every life, every person. And they're searching for a fit man in the book of Leviticus. Because it's the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, the word atonement means to appease, to forgive, to pardon, to purge, to cancel out, to reconcile, to get God back to man. Atonement, at one meant with God. And on this particular day, it was the Day of Atonement, and the Bible said they were searching throughout the camp for a fit man. To do what? On the Day of Atonement, an offering under the Old Covenant had to be offered, and it required 2 goats. Everybody say 2 goats. Yes. 2 goats made 1 offering. It was not possible to offer the atonement offering with just 1 goat. It required 2 goats. It's physically impossible for 1 to do what was needed. The first goat, according to the Bible, I didn't have time to read it, but you can read it on your own time. The first goat that was to be offered on the Day of Atonement was called the Lord's goat. And it was offered as a sacrifice for sin. Its blood had to be shed and it had to die. For the penalty of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The soul that sins shall surely die. So they brought a goat out, and the first goat, called the Lord's goat, would shed its blood and it would die. And it paid the price for sin. It met the justice of God. It caused our sins to absolutely, or their sins to be forgiven for 1 year. But then there was a second goat. It was called the scapegoat, S-C-A-P-E. We would call it the escape goat. The second part of the same offering was to not only shed the blood and kill the first goat, but bring the second goat out. And this is where it really gets interesting. And the high priest would then begin to take confessions from every family. And sometimes it would take weeks leading up to the big day. But every family had to come as families and present themselves to the high priest, who was Aaron. And as they would publicly, in a public place like this, stand and confess every sin from the mom, the dad, the son, the daughter, the children, everybody had to confess their sins. And as they would confess them, the Bible said that Aaron would transfer by their confession the sins that they confessed to upon that second goat. It was transferred into him. Can you imagine having a service like that today? Listening to everything out loud that people said, confessing it all, telling it all, airing out all your dirty laundry about you and your marriage and your family or your children or your children's children. Everything had to come out. If they didn't get it confessed and covered, it would bring a curse on their house under the old covenant. I'm sure those confessions presented a certain amount of anxiety and embarrassment. I'm sure that among the people there was trepidation about going and people looking. Can you see it? Can you imagine? I'm sure that husbands were looking at wives. You did what? And wives were listening to husbands and taking off their wedding bands. And children were listening to their parents as they confessed everything that they said or thought or done. And they're thinking, what kind of parents are you? And children are having to tell how they lie and said that they were going somewhere, but they went somewhere else, and they had to tell it all, and everybody's standing there. And if the sin curse didn't kill you, they were going to kill each other as soon as they got home. It's always funny to me that Noah got on the ark and stayed on the ark for 150 days with nobody but his family, and the first thing he did was get off the ark and get drunk. That's what your Bible said. Let's keep moving. Stay with me. I'm on the goats. Stay with me. I don't know where that came from. Can you imagine as they would stand there and transfer their transgressions by confession onto this second goat called the escape goat? Now listen to me carefully. The priest would lay his hands on that goat. He would confess all of the sins, transferring the sins into that goat. That goat became the substitute to bear their sin. And it had to be sent away into an uninhabited place, into the wilderness. And now comes the reason why you need a fit man. A fit man would be given the responsibility that all of the sins of hundreds of people who had confessed that were now transferred into that goat's body would now need to be taken so far away into the wilderness that that goat could never return and come back. If he did, he brought a curse, he brought disaster, he brought failed crops, he brought the enemies prevailing over you. This man was not an any man, he had to be a fit man. The first goat's death and blood was used for forgiveness of sin. The second goat was used for the removal of sin, for freedom from sin, for the remission of sin, the taking away of the guilt and the condemnation of sin. A lot of you have been forgiven of sin, but you've not been set free from sin. You've not been removed from your sin. It still plagues you. It's the goat's still there. And it required not only the shed blood of a sacrificer, but the life of a liberator. That's why I love Jesus, because he didn't just shed his blood and die on the cross. That would forgive my sins. But then he rose on the third day as the liberator of sin, and he takes my sins away. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm saying. If I backed up my car in the parking lot and I rammed it into your car accidentally and I left a big dent on your car, you could forgive me. You could say, it's okay, Pastor Jensen, I forgive you, don't worry about it. You could forgive me, but the dent would still be there. But what if there could be a way that I could get your forgiveness, but somehow remove the dent too, take it away? So that every time I look at your car, I'm not reminded of what I did to your car. The first goat would forgive you for it. The second goat would take it away. The blood of a sacrificer, the liberator of a life giver, takes it away. And now they're trying to find a fit man that will bear the substitute goat into the wilderness. And the search is on for a fit man, not just any man. It's just one goat, but he's got to be a fit man. They were used to goats. They were a herding people. The Israelites knew about goat herding. And the thing about it is Jacob had 420 goats, but he didn't have 420 men watching every goat. Jehoshaphat had 7,700 goats, but he didn't have 7,700 men guarding every goat. Nabal had 1,000 goats, but he didn't have 1,000 guardians over the goats. But this is a different situation because this represents if that goat comes back, it doesn't just come back on you, it comes back on your children. The Bible said when an evil spirit is cast out, that it goes and finds seven more spirits and it says we're going back to the same house. What I want you to understand is they're searching for a fit man, and he's not a famous man. Never are we given the name of a fit man. Once a year, it was a big responsibility. The whole success of everybody depended on this fit man doing what he was supposed to do. But he was never famous. We're never given his name. Sometimes you have to decide if you're going to be a fit man or a famous man. Sometimes you're going to have to decide, young people, are you going to be famous or are you going to be fit in God's eyes? Because if you're going to be famous, meaning you won't always be popular, if you do what God tells you to do, you'll be fit, but you may not be famous. No praise, no rewards, no celebrations, just a fit man. I looked up the word fit. It means suited for the task, proper, capable of surviving, ready and willing to sacrifice, morally, mentally, physically sound, headed into a wilderness, but has the ability to survive. Listen to me carefully. He's going into a lonely land. He's going into a barren land. He's going into a place of loneliness. When God has his hand on your life, you won't always be famous. He'll take you through valleys. He'll take you to lonely places. He'll take you to wilderness experiences. He'll take you to the verge of giving up and wanting to quit and just throw in the towel. And that is what is determining, are you a fit man? Are you a fit woman? Don't despise your desert. Don't despise your wilderness. God's using it like a gym to make you a fit person. He's got to be fit for the task, a land of fatigue, thirst, hunger, a void of shade and shelter and food. He would have to get out there so far that he would endure hardships. He had to withstand and endure and not fall short of the goal. He had to be a fit man. He wouldn't get tired after going a ways and saying, this is far enough and I hope he don't find his way back. He had to be a man who could deal with the sin but not be lost himself. He had to deal with people and their sins and his family's sins but somehow not lose himself while he's trying to lose the goat. It's possible to preach to others and begin to lose your own self. It's possible to stand up here and sing praises and lead a congregation in public praise, but you have no private praise. It's possible to get up and preach real big on a platform, but have no walk with God when you're not in a platform. If you're not careful, you're trying to help people get away from their sin, but you're losing yourself in the process. A man who could get the sin-bearing goat lost without getting lost in the process. Because you see, goats have a strong homing instinct. They have an inherent ability to somehow go back to the location that they've been sheltered and fed and taken care of. No matter how far out you get them, there's an automatic GPS inside of them that says, I want to go back home. And that's how our sins are. It just gets out there and God removes it. But there's something in that curse, in that sin that wants to come back to your house. Those goats want to come back to your life, to your family, to your house. And we need some fit fathers. We need some fit mothers. We need some fit preachers. Fit men who hate sin but love sinners. The chief concern for every fit man was, I don't want it to come back on my family. Once it was confessed, once it was forgiven, I've got to get it away, because the horror of horrors, listen, I'm going somewhere, I'm almost there. The horror of horrors was if one day, 6 months later, that old goat with the scarlet cord around one of his horns came trotting back into the camp. It meant the curse is here, the blessing has lifted, the crops are going to fail. It was the horror of horrors if somehow that thing came back. So a fit man's concern was for his children, for his family, for his home, for his nation. I don't want those goats to come back on my house. I don't want sin to overtake my life. The nature of the goat is to go back where it's been fed. We got to find a fit man as opposed to an unfit man. Unfit meaning not moral, not mentally suitable. Unfit meaning lacking good judgment, couldn't stand the pressure of the wilderness, couldn't stay in a hostile environment. Can you live right in a hostile environment? Can you get around people doing crazy and it not influence you, but you influence them? If not, you're not fit yet. It's possible that there were men who would not be fit, so we've got to have fit people. I don't want somebody who'll get it so far and then just say, you know, I've gone far enough. I want somebody who will completely remove it. Get that goat away from my family. Now watch. Here's what I wanted to say. Every year, I don't care how many muscles they had, I don't care how strong they were, I don't care how awesome the fit men were, I don't care how successful and powerful they were, every year the goat came back. Because the Bible said it is not possible by the blood of goats and rams to take away sin. And the best that the flesh can offer, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try to overcome it. I'm going to deal with this addiction the best I can. And I'm really working out. I'm really trying. I'm going to church 3 times instead of 2 times. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm doing everything I can to get this goat away from me and my family. But it doesn't matter how much you try. There's no man in all the Bible who could keep the sin away longer than 1 year, and then they had to do it all over again. Oh, but I want to preach. Because the Old Testament is a shadow of better things to come. Jeremiah looked through the prophecy of time and he utters words that he probably didn't even understand what he was saying when he said, and in those days it shall come to pass that their sin shall be sought for, but they shall not be found. He was saying, there's coming a fit man. I don't know who he is. I don't know what his name is. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know where he's coming from. But a fit man's going to come into the earth, and he's going to take our sins so far away. David said, as far as the east is from the west, so he has removed our transgressions from us. Somehow, some way, Isaiah saw it. He said, there's coming a someone, I don't know his name. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is Mighty God. He's going to show up in a physical body. And he won't just die and shed his blood as the first goat for your sin. But he will rise on the third day and he'll say, give me your addiction. Give me your flaw. Give me your weakness. Give me your shame. Give me your guilt. Give me all of the past, the dents in your life that you wish you don't have to look at the rest of your life and remind you of who you were and what you did. Give them to me, and I'll take them so far away from you, if you'll let me, that they will never find you or your kids or your kids' kids again. I need somebody to lift up your hands and shout, if you believe we're blessed and the blessing's greater than the curse. I need to calm down. But I'm telling you tonight that in Matthew 1:21, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Behold, notice what all the goats, hundreds of goats couldn't do it, but one lamb did it. When John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, he wasn't just talking about forgives your sin and leaves the dent, but he takes away the shame, he takes away the guilt, he takes away the fear, he takes away the curse, he takes away and gives you a brand new start. Clap your hands and praise God if you believe it. He who knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. And the problem is, a lot of you are trying to deal with sin instead of getting the fit man inside of you. Jesus Christ is the fit man, and he wants to put away sin from your life. But it's not up to you to try to resist it harder. Spurgeon called it I love his wording. He said it's the explosive power of a new affection. And he gave this illustration in one of his sermons, Charles Spurgeon. He said, if you take a bucket of water and you want to empty that bucket of what's in it, you have two choices. You can kick it over and it'll all pour out, or you can take a heavy brick or rock and drop it in. And when you drop something heavier and bigger in, what is on the inside will naturally slosh out. That is what Jesus does when he comes into your life. When the fit man comes in, all of the junk on the outside that's inside, it can't stay. Deity and demons can't stay in the same temple. And the enemy has to go. The addiction has to go. The fear has to go. The worry has to go. The torment of death has to go. It all has to go. The shame has to go when Jesus drops in. Ahaz, in the Old Testament, caused his children to pass. The Bible said that he commanded under his kingship that they sacrifice their children to the fire demon, and they would burn their children because his father did it. But Ahaz had a son named Hezekiah, and Hezekiah found out who Jesus was or who his God was. And Hezekiah said, I'm not doing that anymore. We're not doing that to our children anymore. And he opened up the temple and brought a revival to Israel. And here's my point. Just because your father was not a fit man, just because your grandfather or grandmother was not a fit woman or a fit man, does not mean that you have to bear the same curses on your life. If you will let the fit man, Jesus, get inside of you, he can cause all of that stuff. And even if they weren't fit men, even if your dad wouldn't be faithful to his wife, doesn't mean you can't be. Even if you understand what I'm saying. I'm telling you that the blessing is stronger than the curse when you get the in man, the fit man inside of you. Take a praise break from the top to the bottom and shout to the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. I want to be a fit man. I don't care if I'm famous. I want to be fit. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Sometimes you're going to have to decide, 50-year-old man, you're going to be famous, you're going to be fit. Because at some point, the girls ain't looking at you no more because of your hot body. And that's when men have their little breakdowns. Midlife crisis. But you have to decide. It's different seasons in life. I'm 55 years old. And you have to decide, do you want to be famous or do you want to be fit? He's not looking for any man or any woman. He's looking for a fit man, a fit woman. Sometimes you can't be famous and fit at the same time with your children. Sometimes a good father looks like a bad father because he knows a higher good that a young child does not see. And he'll say, don't play in the street and not give a reason. And he knows why he's saying it. And the child will say, you're a bad daddy. But he's working a higher good because he knows things that child doesn't know. And sometimes you can't be famous like with your kids as a parent and tell them, yeah, you can go to that party. Yeah, you can go over there. Yeah, you can be with that drug dealer. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sometimes you can't be fit and be famous at the same time. The Bible, and I want to be careful how I say this, but the Bible is not matriarchal. Not that in any way does it limit women. Not at all. If anything, it elevates them. And the Bible says there's no male nor female. But when you read the text of the Scripture, it's pretty evident that we don't pray to the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. But we pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because God is trying to set up that it starts with the men. Only hyenas and elephants are matriarchal, meaning that the female does everything and all the male does once a year at least shows up when she's in rut or interested. And he does a little deal and then he leaves. And that's what's wrong. We got too many of those guys around. And we need some fit men and some fit women. And I want to preach to some of you single people because you're dating goats and you ought to wait on your fit man. God's got you a fit man. He's Holy Ghost fit. He's full of the Holy Spirit. But you keep dating goats, and as long as you're dating goats, the Holy Ghost fit man ain't gonna ever show up. You don't need a player. You need a fit man who goes to church like this with you. Come on, children, get in the car. Come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm a fit man. I may not be famous. I may not get any rewards. I may not be liked in the office as much as somebody else. But you know what? I'm going to get my family to heaven. I'm going to stand around the throne. I'm going to see God bless us and not curse us. Take a praise break. I feel like shouting in this house. Oh! Now here's my title. Jesus was CrossFit. I ought to just throw the mic down and walk off the stage. Just. And he wants to make you CrossFit. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And he doesn't just forgive my sins, but he takes them. Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever done something you regretted? Have you ever done something that you knew brought shame and reproach? Aren't you thankful that he doesn't just forgive it, but he says, let me take it so far away from you that you will never, ever, ever go back to that again. If you know he sets captives free, give him a shout of praise. I'm almost done. For many years, over 15 years, have done a lot of mission work in the nation of Haiti. I go there usually once a year. We built hundreds of homes for earthquake victims. We built a marketplace that employs 4,400 people. We just put millions and millions of dollars into Haiti, hospital and all kinds of things that God has helped us to do. But I found something out that blows my mind. You see, the nation Haiti is the poorest nation in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's just a few 100 miles, maybe 100 miles off of the coast of America. No, actually, that's not correct. I'm thinking Cuba on that. It's not that far, though. I've taken the flight. It's not that far. It's just a few hours. But more importantly, it's an island. Now, listen. And on one side of the island is the Dominican Republic. On the other side of the island, there's a border, and there's Haiti. The Dominican Republic has 5-star hotels and restaurants, and people are prosperous. It's green, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's resorts. Same island, and the people in Haiti are starving to death. And this is what's interesting about it to me, is, listen carefully, 450 baseball players in America. There have been 450 professional baseball players that have been drafted from the tiny island of the Dominican Republic. 450 have become multi-millionaires. Because their fathers in the Dominican Republic, the fathers love baseball. They don't have all the latest equipment, but they love it. And from a little child, they're taught how to play baseball. They teach them how to do two things, how to pitch and how to hit and knock the ball out of the park. Consequently, there's such a culture in the Dominican Republic that 450 just in the last few years have been drafted into the big leagues of American baseball, where those guys, it's nothing for them to make $30, $40, $50 million a year. On the same island in Haiti, the fathers teach their children how to sew leather hides on the rubber baseball for 13 cents a baseball. And the point that I'm making is, it's all according to what you want to teach your sons. You can teach them how to knock it out of the park, or you can teach them how to just stitch a little life together enough to scratch by. And I believe God's looking for some men who will teach their children spiritually, not just how to get by spiritually, but to knock it out of the park. He's looking for some women who will teach their children from a young age, watch mama worship and you're going to worship. Watch daddy worship and you're going to worship. Watch me go to church. Watch, I'm a fit man. I read this book. And after preaching all these years, the number one battle in my life, it's not my wife or my children or this or the church or the pastors or the budgets. The number one thing that I worry about the most is me. because it's possible while I'm trying to take the sins away from my family and the sins away from my church and the sins away from the people and the addictions, it's possible for me to get so busy doing that that I'm not reading this book. I'm not praying. I'm running on empty, and I need to get alone and put a CD on and just worship Jesus, not for another sermon or another blessing at a conference, but I need to let the fit man fill me again. Slosh out everything that's not like him. Fill me again, because if I've got the fit man in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The fit man living inside of you will make a fit man or woman out of you. Do you receive it? It's not about trying harder. It's about getting more of Jesus. The bigger he gets in you, the more the fit man will stand up and say, I'm better than that. I don't need that. Get away. Lift your hands up. All over this room. Open your mouth up. Why don't you just stand up on your feet all over this room? Would you open up your mouth and lift up your hands as high as you can? And would you just right now say, God, make me a fit man? Come on, this is a neuter gender message. Come on, women, lift up your hands, women of God, men of God, and say, Lord, I don't want to just be anybody in the kingdom. I want to be fit. I don't want to be famous. I want to be fit. Come on, guys, let's play. Lift your hands high. Lift your hands high all over this room. Father, we praise you. Come on, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Is there a cry in anybody's heart while I've been preaching, stirring, saying, come on in here, come on in here, come on in here with me. Let me make out of you that fit man. There's teenagers right now that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to use you. I want to use you. I can make a fit person out of you. I can take that thing so far from you that it can't find you anymore. I can remove the dent of shame and condemnation. If you'll let him, he'll make you CrossFit. Lift those hands all over this room. I want you for the next 30 seconds to get a praise phrase in your mouth and begin to speak it out loud right now. Would you do it? Father, I praise you. Everybody say, worthy is the Lamb. What the goats couldn't do, the Lamb has done. Come on, cry worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Worthy is the Lamb. Stir it up. Stir it up if you're tired of the old goats. If you don't want them to come back to your house. If you don't want them to come back on your children. Lift up your hands and declare, worthy is the Lamb. I plead the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm CrossFit. I'm CrossFit. It was nailed to the cross. It's over. I'm free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, sing it. Sing it, sing it, sing it. Lift him up, church. Lift him up.
To honor this love.
Yes.
By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crowned forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen. I give my whole life to honor this love. By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crowned forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen. I give my whole life to honor this love. By the Lamb who was slain, I'm forgiven. The sinner's Savior, crowned forever. For the Lamb who was slain, he is risen.
With every head bowed and every closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, every person watching in the overflow. From the top of the room to the bottom floor to the sides. Come on, just bow your heads in reverence for just one moment. I felt led tonight to ask if I could have permission and I did, to have an old-fashioned altar call where people could actually say, I'm coming to the cross. I'm coming to what Jesus did for me at the cross. I don't just want forgiveness of sin, however, that is remarkable. But I want the removal of sin from my life. I would like to be fit. I would like to be all that He's called me to be. I would like to give my body as His temple. I'd like for Him to drop into me so big tonight that everything unlike Him, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, it would slosh out. I would love tonight to surrender unconditionally and become CrossFit for the kingdom and the purpose that God has called me for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room tonight, if you're listening in the overflow, and you would say, Pastor Jensen, I don't know that I'm right with God, but I sure would like to get right. I don't understand everything about what I'm feeling. I love that. I don't understand everything about what's going on in this meeting, but I know one thing. I know I need to be forgiven, and I need God to remove some things from my house, and I don't want those goats coming back on me and my family and my children. I need freedom from sin. I need the sacrificer with His blood and death, but I need the liberator with His life. I need Jesus. Pray for me. I want to get right with God. I'd like for the curse to never find my address again. Pray for me. There's only one answer. It's Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. If that's you, when I count to three, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Lift your hand high and unashamed all over this room. High and unashamed. They're going up, hands all over this room. High and unashamed. There's no shame in this. There's victory in this. Every one of you who raised your hand, as quick as you can, slip out of your seat and come get down here as quick as you can get down here. Come on, hurry, 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 hurry. They're coming. Clap your hands. That's the sound of freedom. Come on, clap your hands. Come and stand. We can get more in if you'll stand. Here they come, young and old. It doesn't matter. Dad, are you a fit man? Mom, are you a fit woman? Are you leading that family? What about you, teenager? What about you, college student? Why don't you become CrossFit tonight? Why don't you say, Lord, that part of me that's hindering the call and the anointing in my life, I'd love for you to take it away and free me from my sin. He can do it. Here they come. Clap your hands, church. Clap your hands. They're still coming. Come on, you can come with a friend. You might have come with a friend. Grab them by the hand and say, I can't stand here. I need what He's preaching tonight. I need a new life. I need a new beginning. I need to be CrossFit. I've tried and I can't kick it, but when Jesus comes, He declares freedom to anywhere. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Freedom. I'm not asking you to try harder. I'm asking you to completely surrender and let Him drop in. He's the answer. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Last call. Anybody else? I feel like there's another group that's right on the verge, and if you would just step out, destiny would change for you and your family. Ooh, I really feel that. Family. There is a blessing that's going to be released on family tonight. The moment you step out of that seat and say, I want the curses out and I want Jesus in. Come on. Obey God tonight. To obey God is better than what people think. You can be famous, but you can't be fit. And some of you are trying to be famous standing out there, and you need to humble yourself and pick up a cross and become fit. Come on, they're coming. Clap your hands. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The King's business takes haste. Don't negotiate out of it. Don't talk yourself out of it. Obey God tonight. Obey God tonight. All over this room, wherever you're watching this, just lift your hands high toward heaven as an act of surrender. And say this. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess my sins, not to a high priest that's transferring them into a goat, But I confess my sins to the one who bled and died and rose from the dead and promises to remove my past from me so far that he will never remember it again. He said in Isaiah, I will blot out your transgressions, here it is, to remember them no more. Don't ever bring it back up because God's forgot it. It's over. You're CrossFit. Throw your hands up and give the Lord the biggest shout of the night. Come on, church. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise Him.